listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Synthesizer, microwave me, give me your drugs so I can make 7 babies, pump my breast up, can you suck the fat up, please make my life appear like I ain't no such thing as bad luck, my nose ain't right like I need a new one, take a pick, a yellow, red, a black, or a blue one, virtual reality, virtual bullshit, synthesizer, preachers can preach you up in the pulpit, who a bitch, give me my gas so I can smoke this nigga, tell his mama not to cry because they can't, cause they can cone them quicker than it take his daddy to make them, niggas writing verbatim, thought provoking wait. Stop provoking record radios, never played them. Instant quickly, Snoop improve. Hurry, hurry, rush, rush, word on the move. Marijuana illegal, but cigarettes cool. I might look like a dummy, but I ain't no fool. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
I think it was kind of funny, but I ain't no fool. But it's cool. It's cool. Now, if you want to sympathize, I empathize. Yeah. If you want to synthesize, I empathize. But if you synthesize, I will understand. Yo, synthesizer, man. We are live on a Monday. Getting your Monday night capped off before it's time to go watch a Supergirl. That's mm-hmm. right. We still watch all those shows, guys. We are also nerdy black people.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know it. And the thing is, for a very long time, I actually ran from the word nerd mm-hmm. because everybody has a different definition of nerd and nerdem. And a lot of people have been affected with the word nerd from childhood, you know, because a lot of people find out about that word from childhood. And when I thought about actually like nerds, my definition of it is like people that are like highly intelligent and, you know, like read dictionaries for fun, you know, like put computers together, know what a cookie is on the computer, like shit like that. Like, I don't know none of that shit, so I'm not no nerd, you know. But what I realized over time is that when you use the word nerd, it's used very differently today than it was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized that, you know, because the thing is, I feel like when it comes to nerd and nerdum, you just know more than the average person, because a lot of times people just don't know anything about a different genre, about certain genres. And I realized over my years and just life experiences and just doing shit, I sit back and I talk sometimes and I don't even realize. I realized that I picked up knowledge over some things and other people was like, well, you actually know a lot of shit. And I'm like, you know what I do? But I still never really considered myself a nerd, especially for those of you that listen to the nerd. I was like, I'm not no goddamn nerd.
Yeah. You know, I know we do a lot of nerdy stuff and there's nothing wrong with that.
I've embraced it. Put like this. I'm
glad you came around.
I know it took me a long time. But when you go on a 5-minute tangent about how the Zelda beta made you mad and have the people going, what the hell is a beta? You is a nerd.
Yeah, everybody can go listen to your latest episode as a guest on ADD Space or Ad Space on the Unreasonable Fridays podcast network.
I had a ball with Aaron and Baker.
Pretty sure you can't deny the nerdery that happened there.
Oh, we talked about sexuality and video games, all kinds of good stuff we talked about over there.
The unofficial weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport
is bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. This podcast today is brought to you by listeners like you. Okay, guys, go to our TeePublic store, go to teepublic.com, put in code put in TBGWT, and all our products will come up and our store will come up. Buy stuff, click on things, we like when you do that, and you'll be out here looking nice in your TBGWT gear. And you know, we pay the people who give us the designs for it, so you know, you buying stuff helps us recoup the cost of paying the people, the artists who do the work. So thank you for everybody takes time out to do that. And as always, we're always fielding submissions, so you know, the blackguywhotips@gmail.com if you get an idea. I'm not saying we'll accept every idea, some better than others and whatnot, no hard feelings, but you know, if we see something good, you know, we'll hit you up and see what we can do. Yeah. If we can get it from you.
And the thing is, shoot your shot, you never know.
Yeah. So yeah, what are we gonna talk about today? What's in the news? What's in the news? I feel like my life the last 48 hours has just been FanCon, Twitter and articles and shit.
Yeah, every time you turn around, something else popping up, something else coming out.
Another statement making everybody look worse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's real bad. I know what, we'll just talk a little bit. I saw this documentary on Amazon Prime. Now, first of all, I heard about it by listening to Last Name Basis, which is a podcast by Francesca Ramsey and her husband. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, I forgot his name. By Francesca Ramsey and her husband. Now I gotta go look it up in the background.
Had that go Karen's husband?
Yeah. But anyway, it's called Last Name Basis. Shout out to them.
Patrick,
that is his name. How did I not know that? He says Patrick instead of the N-word in songs. How did I not know that? Anyway, we listened to this episode where they talked about this documentary called The Brainwashing of My Father. So I was like, I want to watch this. And Karen just happened to be in the room when I watched it too, so she watched it. But it was about right-wing radio and how this woman who, you know, in her mind, her father didn't have a racist bone in his body, you know, one of those guys. And then, like, Obama got elected, and he started having more of a, like, longer commute to work or some shit, and he would just, like, listen to AM talk radio like Rush Limbaugh and stuff, and essentially it poisoned his mind against everything that he supposedly must have used to believe in, or at least things he had no real political leaning on. He now leaned all the way right. And it's a very interesting documentary. It breaks down, like, you know, the techniques that, like, Fox News uses, and you know, the empire that, like, Rush Limbaugh has built. You know, like, they have an interview with him basically talking about how it doesn't matter if he believes the shit he says or not, because he's just making money off of it.
Right.
And, you know, kind of like with Trump, like, I don't think people on the right really give a fuck. You know, they're like, it don't matter if it's true, I want to believe it, especially if it's racist or anti-woman or whatever. Like, I want to believe these things, so all it takes is you saying them. And they break down, like, how like Fox News creates stories, and, like, it'll be totally fake, and like, you know, they'll cover it on several different shows, how all the women on Fox, like, look alike.
Yeah, they talk about laws and how certain laws change, and once certain laws change, people change the way they phrase things and their wordings of things based off of laws that were actually in place for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, because we used to have laws that Fox didn't exist because they was like, hey, you can't be out here lying to the goddamn public and making shit up.
Right. So, you know, so it was just an interesting documentary. And then, like, especially, like, how outspoken, I mean, like, a little quiet white dude, old white man that you walk by at Harris Teeter 100 times in your life, you know. But, like, the weirdest part was, like, so he used to get these spam emails and send them to all his family and stuff, and mm-hmm. It's not like he was that computer savvy or whatever. At one point, he stopped sleeping in the bed with his wife because she didn't want to hear all that shit, and he would go in another room and just watch Fox News all night.
Right. And they also talked about a lot of studies and statistics about the group that they target. They talked about white men. They talked about how a lot of times they ride alone. A lot of times, you know, it's different distance of periods of time. You're like long commutes, truck drivers and things like that. And they also talked to people that used to be in the Rush Limbaugh Corps. Like, they used to be hardcore Rush Limbaugh fans, and they are no longer affiliated with that. And they would tell you how the language and how they speak and how it made you feel. And it made people feel a certain type of way. And because a lot of that shit catered towards particularly white men, white women are wrapped in it too, but his targeted audience is white men. And it was just amazing to hear how she, the woman, the daughter, who was this documentary was about by her father, how he went from being quiet and docile to all of a sudden belligerent, fighting with everybody, arguing everybody, you know, constantly saying racist shit, constantly sending them racist ass emails to everybody in email chains and things like that. And he goes from that to, I think something happened. Oh, I remember what happened, because he's old. So what happened, his radio broke, And so once his radio broke, he never got it fixed. And so once he never got his radio fixed, all of that influence stopped.
Right.
And once that influence stopped, it's almost like they cut off the addiction. And all of a sudden, his wife, who was more computer savvy than he was, went in like his email and started unsubscribing him to all that bullshit that he was subscribed to that kept coming in. And so she started subscribing him to stuff that was more positive and things like that. And like, as he got older, all because it, you know, he, she was saying to me and my dad, we basically couldn't have a conversation, couldn't talk about anything.
You and know. It's fairly simplistic because, like, literally, oh, and I'm sorry, it's called the brainwashing of my dad, not my father, but brainwashing of my dad. But it's kind of interesting because, like, they, it's so simple. Like, they wean them off, and then by the end, and I don't know if it's just editing, you know, where they want to make it look simple. It's trying to wrap this shit up, you know, maybe apply a message, a hopeful message that these people can be changed and they don't have to be like this. But like, they literally wing him off of the emails and shit, and then by the end he's like, no, I don't care if two gay people get married, it has nothing to do with me. And you know, matter of fact, good for them. And you know, like, he expresses a couple of like more positive opinions, you know, like, I miss Obama, he was good. And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know if it's that simple for everybody, but I did appreciate the examination of like the news sources that drive a lot of this shit. So
yeah, and also I do believe that the media that you consume does affect you, good or bad. It does affect you. And if a lot of people that listen to Fox, a lot of them, majority of them are fucking racist, because that's all the shit they spew, that's all they put out. And a lot of people, a lot of white people, wrap themselves around that because it doesn't challenge them, it doesn't make them think, it makes them feel comfortable in their whiteness. It's always the others, it's always those people, you know. And a lot of people, particularly a lot of white people, because the way our culture here is, it feeds to white supremacy. And a lot, it's hard for white people to fight against white supremacy because the structure of it is to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's just, it's a scary notion thinking of so many. It's the most watched news source, and yet they're constantly decrying how mainstream media, but they are mainstream media, and they feed this underdog feeling in these and these white people throughout America. And it's scary knowing the force and the anti-factual nature of their, you know, of their stuff, their propaganda. It's just, it's scary knowing that that exists and that it's affecting people so easily.
Because the thing is that, and that has, in my opinion, it has a lot to do with a lot of the people that are wrapped up in that. And not trying to find a lot of them, majority of them are lower educated, which means they can, not trying to find it, be more easily persuade. You do have some higher educated people in it, but the people that are higher educated are people that actually putting the shit out.
The common thread is not even education, it's just that they're white, that's it.
True.
Look at Trump voters, they are all throughout the spectrums. And actually, the higher you go up in income, the more white the vote, you know, the more percentage of the white vote he got. So you know, women, men, it just, the common denominator is whiteness, you know. All right, let's get into some other stuff. Wait, did I have some random thoughts? I got a couple, they quick though. Matter of fact, these won't take long. I was reading like a comic book or something the other day, and Peter Parker was like, you know, doing some shit, and like he had to leave to turn to Spider-Man to come back, you know. So of course the people had to tell like Spider-Man what was going on, but he was Peter Parker, so he knew what was going on. And that was when I realized I can never be a hero with a secret identity, because as an introvert, I hate having the same conversation twice. It's a big pet peeve of mine. Like,
I don't know how you deal with me half the time.
I don't know how either, because you repeat yourself a lot. Mm-mm. She don't care.
You gonna listen?
Like, I listen. That's the thing. That's my thing, guys. I do listen to people. Like, I will listen to you. I don't have to agree with you.
And I've been like this forever.
I will understand where you're coming from, so that you don't have to repeat what you said, because I actually listened to you the first time. It is a very rare day when I say something to Karen like, wait, when did you tell me this? Because I remember.
That's
you told
true.
Me.
That's true.
But it don't matter. Anyway, I'd give up my secret identity if I had one mid-sentence. I can't take the same conversation. It's like, oh man, I'm Peter Parker right now. It's a force field up. I better go get Spider-Man. I run off, come back as Spider-Man. Hey, I don't know where Peter went, but Spider-Man, it's a force field. Oh, come on, guys. It's me, Peter. Goddamn. Let's go. Come on already. You know, just so you know, I'm Spider-Man. Let's go. Hurry up.
They still wouldn't believe
me. I know everything Peter said. I know, but let me explain one more time. No, I understand. It was me that went to get me. Remember? You're the one out of the loop now. I was watching like a World Star video or some video on like Twitter or something. And, it was these two, you know, that girl, I don't know if you remember this girl. What is her fucking real name? Danielle Rigoni or something like that.
It sounds familiar.
I feel like you know her probably better as the Catch Me Outside girl.
Yeah, I know her. Yes.
Okay. So I saw her getting into it with another little like white girl that looked kind of, for lack of a better term, wiggerish.
Mm-hmm.
You know the type.
Catch Me Outside, how about that?
Her. She was at like some club or some venue, and I don't know how she's doing that because she's like 16, 14 maybe. And another little white girl, followed by another group of black men, came up to her. And she looked like, you know, like Bizarro Catch Me Outside girl. She looked like Free Me Inside girl, you know? And she was like, you know, what you want to do? You don't want no snack? You don't want no snack? You want to do this? You want to do something? And then Danielle was like, oh, what you trying to do? You trying to do something? Da, da, da. And then there's like another little white girl. And she,
how many of these people is it?
And she has a video in her house talking about how rich she is. I think we saw this on Jesus and Mary. Maybe you didn't watch it with me.
Okay.
But she was like, I got this. And I'm like, you're 13. You don't have shit. Your parents are only people that earn money in your house.
Come on!
But the thing was, you know, and then they had another video where Chief Keef had a little white girl and she was out there talking about all the money she's getting. And I realized, rappers got little white girl Pokemons now.
They catching them all.
I think that's what this is. They making them battle. They training them. They feeding them. Putting them back in their little white girl Pokeballs. They pull them out on each other and, you know, Catch Me Outside, girl. I choose you. And then she pop out and be like, who wants some? How about that?
Right. That's a whole phrase.
The hoes is laughing. Yep. I mean, these hoes don't want to see me outside. And then the other girl is, you know, yeah, bitch, and they all have like super white names too. Like they real names is like, you know, Melanie or some shit. You know, it's like, but they don't go by that shit. It'd be like, you know, little Trig or some shit. And they're like, oh yeah, little Trig. But yeah, it's an entire fucking industry of this shit. I don't know if they like got cards. I don't know if they meet up and do like Poke battles. I don't know. Anyway, it's scary out here in these streets. Y'all be careful in case y'all run across one of these little dangerous white girls.
I'm trying to tell you, you're going to be shocked.
Where are the white fathers? Okay.
Come on.
Where are the white fathers?
The white on white crime.
You know, it's sad when white fathers are not in their kids' lives and they out here doing shit like this.
Where's your mama?
And of course, the obvious double standard. I mean, I think we all know this one. I almost don't even have to say it, but Itwan.
Come on.
If that was some little black girls, and I'm not even just talking about how white people were treated, niggas would be totally, totally different about how that shit is going down. So I don't even want to get into that. But yeah, like they wouldn't even be famous. They'd just be some little bad black girls that people would be talking about. They need fathers in their lives, and you know these niggas gonna fuck her and all this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the same thing about the white girls. You have to be concerned about their safety too, but people have a tendency not to
care. It ain't
care.
Even about safety. They would blame the girls if it was black girls. It's not even about safety. They'd be like, oh, Chief Keef fucked this 14-year-old. Well, she ain't had no business out there then. That's what she get. Okay. Like, that's if it's a white girl. Like, that was the one thing in the videos that I did notice. It wasn't no, like, sexual fetishizing or nothing like that. And in a way, it's almost like super weird and scary because it feels like the rappers know the agency of them being white girls is the reason that those white girls are even there.
Come on.
And the power that be of them being little white girls would fucking get them sent up the creek if they did anything untoward towards those little girls. So they're not even like on, like, it's not any sexual, like, when you see the videos, it's not like, let me look at this ass or these like, it's just little white girls talking shit like they rappers or something, but they little white girls, and that's the whole phenomenon. It's like acoustic covers in reverse, you know.
They look kids. I look at them all as little kids. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't got no business but your asses out there. Fuck with them grown ass men.
But yeah, I saw that shit. I was like, these niggas is out here pokey fighting these white girls. This is amazing. What else was I thinking in my random thoughts? Let me find them again. Oh, low key, I feel like I'm waiting on Sheriff Clark to walk by a mirror and then call the police on himself and then beat himself to death.
I think he gonna arrest himself.
I don't think he understands what's happening now. I heard he lost his sheriffship though.
He should have. With all his fake badges and trinkets.
Someone on Twitter told me to call him by his official title, Coon Clark, and I will. Got demoted. Is it a promotion? I don't know how it works over there in Coonville. I don't know how that works. And the last thing, this isn't even a joke, it's just something I was thinking about, but it's gonna be a bitter day in hell on social media when that Tyrone kid wins that lawsuit against Howard.
Oh, they're gonna be mad.
There's a lot of people mad, but they ain't even mad for the right reasons. They just jealous. And I seen it in their comments. Now, they might disguise it as righteous anger. I mean, everybody does that. But really, it's just pettiness. Cause you still paying student loans and you mad, you know, and he cracked the matrix, went to school for free and got paid. When that motherfucker win that lawsuit, nigga, I'm gonna have to log off cause I'm gonna be laughing too much and having too many jokes and y'all really are mad. I made a joke about it on my Facebook page and somebody wrote like a whole paragraph of why this is not funny because I was like, nigga, it's funny to me. Get off a convenience Facebook page. I don't know. Why you came here? This is a good one. Okay? I don't know why we can't have room for both. Yes, it's fucked up when people get scammed. It is. And I feel sorry and I hope they get their money back.
Me too.
But on the other hand, scamming is funny when it don't happen to you.
Come on.
I mean, it is what it is.
It happened to you, you light that motherfucker on fire. Somebody else? It's a different story.
I don't know why niggas try to act like they can't admit it. So Joanne the Scammer just got popular all on their own.
Right.
Had nothing to do with nothing, huh? Just, we don't know why that motherfucker got a TV show and memes and y'all putting the picture up everywhere. I don't know. I guess I just made that whole cultural phenomenon over. Okay. All right. Scams are not funny at all. Scams are very funny when they don't happen to you. That's all it is. No, that's why everybody was trying to paint the fan con as a scam, because it's funnier than what probably happened, which is, oh, you got in over your head, living for the internet, faking it till you making it, not reaching out for help, not telling people, not communicating. I mean, yes, that's a story to itself, and maybe it's closer to what happened, but you could just call it a scam and get these jokes in. So it's just jokes over everything, really, for people. Anyway, when Tyrone win, I'm gonna laugh, and I just want y'all to know, so don't at me that day, because that motherfucker gonna win that lawsuit. He gonna get y'all money and some more. He gonna get some more money, man. Oh, they gonna be mad as hell, because even if they was right and he did everything they said, you can't be releasing his personal
information. No, you can't.
Somebody at the school had to know that and did it, like, that seemed like the most open and shut case ever. How can you even lose that? You had to go on TV and fucking say it all. Like, oh man. Good luck. Waffle House, they captured the killer at the Waffle House. So, white kid, walked into Waffle House, shot four people of color.
Oh.
I think killed four people of color. I don't even actually know how many he shot. These fucking shootings, y'all, they're blaring together. Like, I honestly don't know the details of all of them anymore because there's so fucking many.
Correct.
This one looks racially motivated. He was naked. He walked in.
Naked?
Naked. Killed four people. One black dude basically saved some other people's lives by wrestling the gun away from him. He burned his hands on the hot gun barrel, wrestling it away from him. Some true heroism. And then the guy ran away on foot, the naked dude, and got away. And he was on the run for like a day, and then they caught him today right before we went on the air. And you know, it's looking like it's racially motivated. He was arrested alive. You know, it's almost like the police do have choices in these things. It was said he was troubled and delusional, right? He had guns. He went to the White House. I want to say either last year or 2 years ago. He went to the White House, got arrested. They took his guns from him. The government came and got his guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government didn't want to keep his property, so they gave his property to his father.
Okay.
His father gave the guns back to the boy.
Why? How? I would charge that motherfucking daddy.
Because it goes back to what I said last week or the week before. I can't trust gun owners because they have stupid fucking judgment. He literally had a government come tell him your son should not have weapons. But whether it was his love for his son, his exceptionalism for his son, whatever it was, he said, nah, I think my son should have his guns. I know he was arrested at the White House. Now here's the thing. What a lot of gun owners would do right now, and what they're probably doing in their heads listening to this, people that are pro-gun, people that, you know, at gun at all, they're like, well, yeah, that one parent. Well, I don't have the fucking luxury of knowing which of you parents is good parents. There's no fucking regulation on this. You can just do that. You can just do that. And then the time we know that it's wrong, after some people dead. How is that okay? You know, it's a ridiculous situation. You know, the father should go to fucking prison too.
Right.
Prison for everybody, man. I just, four people dead because you said, I don't hear what the government said, but I actually have a different opinion. And you're not going to violate my son's Second Amendment, right? So I'm giving his guns back. That's where we're at in this country. And that's an acceptable amount of loss so that other people can just have their handgun or their whatever the fuck they have in their house right now for quote unquote protection that'll probably be used to kill them or someone else they love. You know, it's just really frustrating. He's 29 years old. So he's,
that ain't no child.
He was arrested last year by the Secret Service. When he refused to leave the White House grounds. His guns were taken away from him. And here we are. His dad was like, I think he's responsible enough to handle this ability to take life. I think that's fine. There was another article, I don't even think I saved it, but a woman accidentally killed her 2-year-old child with a gun.
Ooh.
You know, assuming it's an accident, you know. You get a gun and you fucking have it around a 2-year-old, but it's your right. I gotta respect it. Second Amendment. Nothing we can do about it. 2-year-old dead. Just gotta happen. You know how it is, guys. What's to be done? So fucking stupid. This is a dumbass country full of dumbass gun owners that are out here. And I have to say because they're so scared, even the quote unquote good ones are so fucking scared of losing their gun that they let this shit slide. And that's the people that defend this shit, or they demagogue the one person rather than be like, we need more fucking rules and laws about how the fuck this shit's gonna work. There should be no acceptable circumstance where a fucking 2-year-old is dead because by their own parent who says they accidentally did it. There should be zero scenarios where that happens. But here we are. It's just super frustrating, man. Anyway, what else is happening? Oh, there's some good news. The NRA, they just lost their relationship with Yeti coolers.
Not the Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
Well, them hiking coolers they take out in the woods.
Outdoor Sportsman Company.
Yeah, that's Yeti, what it sounds like.
Officially ended its relationship with the gun advocacy group. Now, the only question I have
is expensive.
My only question I have is this: how they gonna keep their guns cool now?
Not even for their guns, for their meat.
You ever go out in a hot summer day, ready to shoot some small innocent animals in the woods with your AR-15, and you're sweating and you're reaching to your Yeti cooler, and you pull out a cold one, a tall cold one.
Ooh, this shit is expensive.
A tall cold rifle. Press it up against your cheek. feel that nice cold chill up against your neck with the butt of the gun. You know, wipe your brow with the barrel. You guys know what I'm talking about, you gun people. This is what you do. And you shoot yourself, Bambi's mom, and you eat that venison jerky. Mm-hmm. Mountain stuff that thing on your wall or something. I don't know what you fuck them. I don't know what y'all do to them. A lot of stuff. It's not like you go to a restaurant and see a lot of deer on the menu. I don't know what the fuck y'all killing them animals for. But the point being, now that's over. Cause Yeti coolers took a stand. Now you gotta go out and you get a fucking gun that's hiding and sitting out in the fucking sun all day. You know? What are you supposed to do with that? All the ice that you buy from fucking 7-Eleven to fill up the cooler, now that part of the economy is dead. I mean, I'm anti-gun, but I empathize for you, you know? Well, you're supposed to put your Glock now when it's a hot day out. So just put it in a holster or something? In a hot-ass holster? You get that lukewarm gun up against your hand? That just ruins the whole experience. So sorry about that, guys. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, according to reviews, they are very good and high quality. They actually go up to $350. It's the most expensive. Well, the most expensive ones on this site.
Mm-hmm.
And they start at $249.
Well, good for them. Okay, them expensive ass coolers. I guarantee the NRA people wasn't buying them anyway. That was too busy. That could be another gun. Sandy Hook parents sue Alex Jones for defamation. That took a while. So since 2012, after that school shooting, he's been one of those right-wing conspiracy theorists that's claiming everything was fake,
right?
Big hoax, the parents making it all up.
Right, like these people didn't lose their children.
Crisis actors and shit like that. To the point where, guys, there's a documentary about Sandy Hook on Netflix, and this is not to be insulting to the lives of anyone lost there. I couldn't even watch it. Not because of the reason y'all think. It's not a hard watch. It was boring as fuck. Now, I'm not trying to diss the documentary. Far from it. I'm actually saying I was watching like 30 minutes of it and I realized the whole point of the documentary was to prove that these fucking kids existed. Right. Now, every other documentary on that gives you the facts, okay? Not to be morbid, but if you want to watch the Oklahoma City bombing,
they
just like, this happened, and this happened, and that's why that motherfucker went crazy and blew that shit up. And it's like, thank you. I didn't know that. Now I know the whole story.
Right.
You know? This shit, it was like, and Daniel was in soccer, and he did this, and he went to this class, and here's a recording of his voice, and here's a video of us watching him play soccer. And I was like, holy shit. The fucking conspiracy theorist people have driven the argument so far crazy to Wrightville, they just gotta have a documentary on like these are our children and they aren't here anymore. It's not even about what happened during the school shooting or how the guy got the gun or how it was possible. Like, none of that they don't even talk about that shit. It's just, I'm a teacher at this school. I've been teaching for this many years. Here's pictures of me with kids. Here's this. I exist. I'm real. This is my daughter. This is my husband. And we are real people. Can you please stop fucking with us? That was the whole documentary. So I had to turn it off because it was boring. But God damn, these people crazy. So I see why they suing them. Imagine that. You lose a loved one and you got to spend part of your life going back and grieving, but also documenting like, hey, man, my son was real. Why would I make up a fucking son?
I got a birth certificate. I got documentation, you know, and for you to constantly put it out there to the point that the families got tired of you lying on them that they made this bullshit up. And right. That's why you get to the fact that they put out so much false shit till you basically, for a lot of people, I can literally say anything and you can't challenge me. They was like, oh, motherfucker, we gonna challenge you. Quit saying that bullshit.
So they suing them, man.
I don't blame it, and I hope they fucking win. Stop that.
Yeah, and it's sad. They suing him in 2018 because he won't stop.
Right. They was gonna let him live. And they was like, please stop this. Please stop this. And he just kept going off at the mouth. They were like, fuck it. Only way to get you to shut the fuck up is to sue you.
Right. Like, I'm sure they would love to fucking move on with their lives and you know, have mourned and you know, try to find some semblance to go forward. And nah, I gotta turn around and fucking fight this nigga every day on, you know, cause his minions is harassing me and shit, and he won't shut the fuck up.
Everywhere I go on social media, and a lot of times, you know, in the little small towns, possibly you just walking around and people will constantly, you like, look, stop that bullshit.
Right, and the thing is, when you say crazy shit like that, you can't just go back to the well, turn it on and off, you know, when it's today when I'm getting sued, hey, I actually didn't believe all that shit. Tomorrow when I'm not getting sued, I actually do believe all that shit, because that's your revenue stream. How you gonna turn it off? A South Carolina prison riot characterized as a mass casualty event. There was a riot in which 7 people were killed as part of a broader epidemic of violence in U.S. prison. South Carolina prison erupted into violence on Sunday night and early Monday morning, turned into what officials described as a mass casualty event. In total, 7 inmates were killed and at least 17 were injured. I don't think any guards were injured or killed. Yeah, no prison guards were hurt. Inmates said that bodies were literally stacked on top of each other, claiming the prison guards did little to stop the violence between inmates. Most of the fatal injuries appeared to be a result of stabbing or slashing, although some inmates may have been beaten to death. The riot was the worst in U.S. prison in a quarter century. Officials said the dispute at Lee Correctional Institution, which holds people convicted of some of the worst crimes in the state, was over money and territory. An inmate told the AP that fighting appeared to be gang-related. He also said that many cell lock doors were broken even before the riot, allowing inmates to roam freely and perhaps contributing to the chaos. It's been over 2 hours, but no COs have responded to this unit, and no medical personnel have attempted to render any kind of aid, the inmate wrote to the AP. The COs never even attempted to render aid nor quell the disturbance. They just sat in the control bubble, called the issue in, and then sat on their collective asses. The violence.
I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, one, these prisons are very overcrowded at this point.
Right.
Two, they're mostly, you know, for profit. They're, you know. And the conditions in them are horrible. And this is the thing I was talking about with that sheriff that didn't want to feed the inmates. I think we might talk about that on pregame. Whatever we talked about. Maybe we talked about it on here. Anyway, if you treat people less than human, they start thinking they're less than human. You know, if you treat them like their life is worth $2 a day of food and, you know, the bare minimum necessities and all this type of shit, then they carry that with them. And the cost of expending another person's life becomes not that big a deal. The violence broke out at 7:15 p.m. on Sunday, spreading to 3 housing units. Officers failed to contain the violence for hours, with order restored by 2:55 a.m. on Monday. The South Carolina Department of Corrections said in a statement on Facebook, while the incident was particularly bad, it also is part of a problem of violence in U.S. prisons more broadly, a problem that, at least in South Carolina, seems to be getting deadlier. Violence is a very big problem in American prisons. According to a 2009 study published in the Journal of Correctional Health Care, about 21% of male prison inmates during a 6-month period are physically assaulted, and between 2% and 5% are sexually assaulted. But this kind of problem appears to be getting worse in South Carolina in particular. Investigation by John Monk from the state, for the state of South Carolina newspaper, found the number of inmates killed in the state's prisons more than doubled in 2017 from the year before and quadrupled from 2 years ago.
You don't say.
Yep. So yes, the conditions are horrible. I guarantee it's understaffed. Cause I mean, think about it. You're talking about money.
Right.
What costs money? Staff.
Right. And the staff is like, hey, it is 3 of us monitoring X amount of buildings. we can't do shit.
There was a prison at Lee Correctional. It opened about 25 years ago. It holds about 1,700 of some of South Carolina's most violent offenders. It's no stranger to violence. 3 weeks ago, inmates overpowered a guard, holding him hostage and taking control of part of a dorm for about 90 minutes. The guard was released uninjured. In February, one inmate fatally stabbed another. The prison is about 50 miles east of Columbia. The state capital is home to Kirkland Correctional Institution, where four inmates were fatally strangled a year ago. One of the two inmates accused of the crime said he killed them so he would be moved to death row. So he'd rather die. Lee County Coroner Larry Logan told the AP that most South Carolina prisons have struggled to find enough workers, indicating that understaffing is making it difficult to keep these places under control. And especially when our solution to everything is prison, prison, more prison, put people in prison for longer sentences forever. No, you can't get out and get a job. You can't do anything but go back to prison.
Right, because they fucking tarnish your record. You get a strike, and the thing is, everything costs money. You get out, the only means of actually making money is actually to start your own business, and that shit costs money.
And we're not trying to rehabilitate folks. We're just trying to make better prisons. You know, bigger, better, more profitable prisons.
Right, you cut them off from their families. You cut them off from their friends. They aren't allowed to go see them.
Let's see, let's get into some other stuff. Oh man, gotta do this just because this shit is piling up, but okay, fucking with black people. Wait,
oh, I was about to say,
try this again. Fucking with those black people, we're just fucking with those blacks, we're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys, time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people, the game. We go all around the globe, we find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see who's fucking with us today. All right, a black woman was dragged to the ground and arrested by officers in the Alabama Waffle House over a dispute about plastic utensils. Now, there's video going around. Obviously, I won't play it. There was this black woman. She came in a Waffle House to order some food. She had eaten there the night before. And they got video of what happened, but police ended up brutally taking her down, threatening to break her arm. And like took her down so violently, like her shirt came down, you can see her breast in the restaurant. It was 25-year-old Chickasia Clemens and her friend Kanita Adams. They went to Waffle House. While placing the order, Clemens asked for plastic utensils. At that point, the employee told her there would be an additional charge of 50 cents.
Her meal was to go. I'm assuming the meal was to go.
Even if it was here, when have you ever been charged 50 cents for plastic utensils in any restaurant ever?
Never.
Right. So Clemens told the employee, well, we didn't get charged for utensils when we purchased food from the same Waffle House the night before. The employee suddenly canceled their order.
Oh, that's racist.
Clemens then asked for the contact information for the Waffle House district manager.
Right.
Right, like if this is the policy, I want to talk to a manager about it. A trope so common among white women, we make a joke out of it. I like to talk to a manager, right? They didn't even ask her to leave. Familiar. She was waiting for them to give her the district manager's card so she could file a complaint on one of the waitresses. Clemens' mother, Chiquita Clemens Howard, told the news site. When they went to go get the card, that's when the police showed up. The officer should have come in and said, we need you to leave. The video shows after briefly speaking to Clemens, a white Saraland, Alabama police officer dragged a young woman by her arm from where she was sitting and onto the floor of Waffle House. Three officers stood over the young woman, pulled at her limbs, they attempted to cuff her. Their actions resulted in her top being pulled down, exposing her breast. Throughout the entire altercation, Clemens and Adams can be heard attempting to get answers out of the officers as to why Clemens is being apprehended. What are you doing? Clemens asked. I'll break your arm. That's what I'm about to do. An officer could be heard responding. Even as the two women voiced their distress, customers can be seen eating in the background. Clemens was ultimately charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Clemens Howard told the news site the mother paid Clemens $1,000 bond Sunday morning. The footage shows the story completely. The upset mother said, "My nerves are very, very bad right now." Mobile NAACP President David Smith released a statement Sunday noting that the organization will be gathering facts on the incident, especially in light of the recent inexplicable arrest of two black men in the Philadelphia Starbucks. To me, this is very like the same thing as the Philadelphia Starbucks shit. And the bigger, you know, people are going to blame at Waffle House. They can do that. I don't care. They, you know, people blame Starbucks. You know, I remember that. I don't know that the restaurant brand CEO and shit is even responsible for this type of shit. You know, maybe you fired the person or something or whatever. I think Waffle House may have released a statement backing this woman up. So in that case, they're complicit to me. But remember when I said last week, those brothers was almost lucky that it happened in a Starbucks? Cause Starbucks actually gives a fuck about its public reputation. Like, this is more what I expected.
Right.
Like, Waffle House is pretty much backed up the person who called the police and then said, we ain't got nothing else to talk about. And we'll just wait till this blows over. Because they don't give a fuck. You know, obviously, there's a dichotomy of this happening to a black woman instead of black men. So there's people that are like, I know there's a lot less rallying, a lot less
crying in the street.
Right, a lot less, this could have happened to me, this could have happened to you, a lot less of that. She was ultimately charged for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Two bullshit charges. Mm-hmm. Clemens Howard, told the news site the mother paid Clemens bond. Yeah, okay. In light of the current situation in our country, such as a arrest of the two black men in Philadelphia Starbucks coffee shop, we felt it was important for our members to get a first-hand account of the incident, which has now gone viral on social media locally across the country, said the NAACP spokesperson. As for the officers, a spokesperson for the police department said the department would be investigating.
Nothing's gonna happen.
We're aware of the arrest at Waffle House and accompanying video social media. The situation is being thoroughly reviewed. Okay. Waffle House spokesperson told AL.com that although it is still obtaining and reviewing information, it believes there's reason to question Clemens' version of what happened. It's fair to say that the information we have received at this point differs significantly from what was being reported and reportedly been attributed to Ms. Clemens, and strongly supports the actions taken by the police department. That's the response I expect from these corporations and shit.
Right.
Cause like, it's open season on niggas. It's open season. You got a president that says if you gotta knock a nigga on the head, putting him in the car, hey, it's cool. Hey, you guys will no longer have to worry about oversight from my Department of Justice. We got your back. You know, from now on, you will have the full authority of the law behind you. You know what I mean? Like, they've been encouraging this shit to happen to niggas. It's just been this dog whistles thing. And I think it's no coincidence that you got people calling the police on black people for shit like they were sitting in Starbucks for 2 minutes. You know, you got people calling that you want utensils. Well, that's going to be 50 cent. But y'all don't charge for that. Oh, okay. You need to talk to my manager. I'll be right back. Police, can you come real quick? And it should scare the fuck out of all of America, not just black people. It should scare the fuck out of all of America that racist people know that they can call the police on a black person. And it doesn't matter what the story is. The police are just going to rough the black people up and take them downtown. At best case scenario, that should bother everybody. And then you wonder why we don't fuck with the police. How can you possibly wonder? This person wanted plastic, and I already knew what the excuse was gonna be. Why didn't you just do what they say? Just pay for the, because it's fucking wrong. And I just asked a question, and I knew it was wrong. I knew it was probably happening to me because I was black. So I said, let me just talk to a fucking manager. I'm not raising my voice, I'm not throwing anything, even if I was, fuck you, but I'm not even like, hey, can I talk to a manager then, if y'all are gonna do this stupid shit? You know, it's not like asking for extra sauce in the drive-thru at McDonald's. You know, well, it might actually cost some money, even though you may have gotten it for free. They've never charged anyone for utensils. You know, what's the fucking, what difference does it make? So yeah, you know, you have that shit, and then You know, obviously she probably was yelling and being da-da-da-da. You know how we, when it's women, we definitely blame them, you know, except it'll be some people that are black women, some people that are black men saying that shit. When it was the brothers in Starbucks, it was mostly just white people that were speculating that they must have been acting up.
Right.
But when it's black women, you know, it goes back to like, well, you know, sisters do be talking, you know, that shit. You know, I just knew how I was gonna, I didn't even read any of your comments, cause I just knew how I was gonna shake out, you know. It's just different, you know, but it's just so frustrating cause it's so predictable and it happens so often. I mean, it's they just stripping us of our dignity. It's not even,
right.
This is just about dignity.
Right.
The right to sit in a coffee shop and wait on your friend. That's dignity. It's not some absurd request. It's not, you didn't walk out and say, hey man, you mind if I stick my dick into the counter for a couple minutes and just hang out? Like, it's not like they ain't come in, hey guys, you mind if I take a shit in the coffee machine over there, buddy? Is that cool, right? Anybody got a problem with that? You know, like, you mind if I hop behind the register and do a couple orders for everybody? Nah. Like, it's just, I would like to sit and wait on my friend like everybody else does in this motherfucker. Yeah, but you're black and I think that's gonna be a problem. You know, I need some plastic silverware. My cups cost a dime. You know, like, it's just bullshit, man. So 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, that was 100. There was more shit like this too that happened. Hooters responded poorly to backlash after a racist firefighter spat on a black child. 2018, guys. It's not Rosewood.
Nah. And the thing is, people love Trump because he's doing exactly what he said. He literally is taking it back.
Slavery hymns didn't start. Yep. So yeah, one witness said that he was flabbergasted when a firefighter told police he was a first responder. He basically said, get that little blank up off the ground, off the floor. Then he said the nigger started, then the N-word started to get thrown around. The incident happened at 8:15 p.m. and the witness said that he was approximately 5 feet away. He said he saw the child had wandered away from his family members. When one of them went to get the child, the firefighter used a racial slur and spat on the child. How's that okay? Why would you do that to a child? Why? Why? You know how many times I've seen little white kids running all around some motherfucking place? And I just went, all right, little white kid, just don't bump into me or whatever the fuck.
That's like, all I ask, just don't bump into me.
I never turn around, I was like, crack a spit.
Yeah, and it's not even for the child. It's like, I don't know how your parents are going to respond to you bumping into me.
Police were called, and when the witnesses found out the man was a first responder, he was stunned. Yeah, how many black people he's had to get called to supposedly assist? I feel like the black houses get to burn a little longer. Overland Park police said the unnamed suspect will be charged for his actions. Sergeant John Lacey, police, first of all, you're still not naming him? Did I read that right?
Yeah.
He a public fucking servant.
Right. Protection.
He spat on a fucking kid. He's accused of that. I want to know his fucking name. What are you doing? What are you doing? How's that even a fucking... Anyway, so then... Sergeant John Lacey, a police spokesman, also confirmed the suspect is a first responder, but did not say which agency he works for, only that he does not work in Kansas. Hooters of America is now responding to a reporter's question concerning the incident. Is that Hooters does not tolerate any harassment, discriminatory language, and the safety and well-being of our guests and employees are the utmost priorities. Of course, it goes without saying that our policy is to fully cooperate with any law enforcement investigation. The fire department is getting backlash on social media over the incident. Many thought the man worked for their department. They released a statement saying, I understand this incident did not involve our personnel. So, So, and yeah, my understanding, I think it was in a different article. I don't know if I had another article, but like the police were like questioning the black family and shit too. Like, it wasn't just as simple as like the police showed up and was like, this man spit on a child, he has to go. Bill's like, what did you niggers do? You know, it's, anyway, 0 to 100.
100.
That's 100 as well. Kanye West, who's back on Twitter, which means he's back on his shit again. Kanye West applauds a Black Lives Matter critic, and many of his fans revolt. This is so disturbing. Yeah, he said he loves the way that Candace Owens thinks. She's a frequent guest on Fox News and InfoWars. She launched a website on YouTube in 2017 called Red Pill Black, which promotes black conservatism. She's hailed President Trump as not just the leader of the free world, but the savior of it as well. She's been known to blast back Black Lives Matter. And then once he said that to her, she replied, "I'm freaking out at Kanye West. Please take a meeting with me. I'll tell every single person that everything that I've been inspired to do was written in your music. I am my own biggest fan because you made it okay. I need you to help wake up the black community." And then people, you know, was like, "What the fuck are you doing, Kanye?" She's anti-black, anti-LGBTQ, and fact-hating, Raquel Willis said on Twitter. I mean, Kanye West is the pro-blackness, as Megyn Kelly is the feminism. Mm-hmm. I can say a million times, and motherfuckers always kind of like root for him on this, like on the side of like, he be saying some deep shit, and I'm like, man, just listen to the songs, enjoy the music.
That's why I came.
That's about, like, you cannot feed into, like, him as a philosopher and shit, because he just doesn't give a fuck, and he says wild shit, and he feels like the only time that, you know, the only time it's a problem is when people ain't talking about him, so he don't care what he got to say to get you talking. Right. You know, he's just a bridge-burning-ass nigga, man. Like, he's hella inconsistent. You know, I was thinking about this shit last night. I was like, Kanye is just that nigga that is always in some shit, but he swear it's never him. Like, nigga, you been in drama your whole fucking life, and it's everybody else's fault. You know, I remember him being on stage talking shit about Jay-Z and, you know, our daughters played together, and then you don't call me and all this shit. And I'm like, nigga, you got a phone, but that worked both ways. You can call him. But you on stage yelling at an audience full of people that ain't Jay-Z, talking about y'all personal relationship and what's wrong with it. Like, nigga, pick up the phone to fix it if it's that big a deal. But nah, this is your ego, because you do this kind of shit and you're a hypocrite, and yet at the same time, your actions are justified and nobody else's is. You know? Like, it's just wild. Like, don't talk about me, da da da, but you talking about somebody. Why people always blaming race? Then something happened to you, this is racist. Fuck out of my face, man. You know, so I just, you know, I just don't even.
Yeah, I'm just here for the music when it comes to Kanye. That's why I came.
Yeah, like, I can't even. It was funny. People was writing these long posts about it, and like, there was a lot of people, "I'm quitting you now," and he is canceled and shit. And I was like, hey, y'all nobody, still was holding out?
Nobody gets canceled, baby.
Like, this nigga went from George Bush doesn't care about black people to him not caring about black people. Just let him go. Just let him go.
Let him be.
He's doing his thing. Everybody was so happy he came back to Twitter. I was like, this won't last long. Mute Kanye. Mute Kanye West. Anyway, though, 0 to 100.
Zero.
Yeah, I gotta give it a, you know what, I do gotta give it a zero. I never even heard of Candace Owens until today.
I didn't know who the fuck that person was.
That's Candace Owens could deliver me a pizza right now and I wouldn't even know she was a Make America Great Again person.
I wouldn't have. You said she was black, I thought she was white. I don't know who that woman is.
She might be famous. I mean, you know, the YouTube people do be famous these days and I don't keep up with it, so she might, you know, she must be somebody or something, I don't know. But it just, that world is so foreign to everything I believe in. I'm not watching InfoWars or Fox News to know,
I don't know
who the latest coon is. You know, she's like trying to come up and be the black, you know, version of cooning. You know, like Tommy Lauren is over there and she want to be like black woman Tommy Lauren, and I'm like, that's always a losing strategy, because you're dealing with a racist fucking, you're dealing with a racist group of people. They're never gonna let you be bigger than the white people over there.
Come on.
Remember that GOP white whack chicken woman with the whack ass chicken she made?
She disappeared.
Yeah, like, you just become a nobody, because they're never gonna, you're gonna hit a glass ceiling eventually, and it's a glass ceiling that you claim to believe in. The black inferiority complex. You know, you try to be like, I'm an exceptional black person, but they don't believe none of y'all are exceptions. Y'all all
come
niggas
on, all of you.
You know, I remember people, you know, whenever Kanye would get on his black shit about like the fashion industry not respecting me because I'm black, and I'm just like, nigga, this is the only time you want to be black is to say how you the center of the most oppressed people in the universe. Other than that, you don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck about us. That's the only time you want to show up is when there's some shit with you. Like, he been acting like a black Republican. This ain't new.
Right. There's
been on some Clarence Thomas shit.
Right. And there's a lot of other people that are exactly like him. They might not be as verbal as he is.
Right.
But it's people that agree with him.
Yeah. So he can go, man. But yeah, I probably maybe 25. I don't know. Something low. Not 100. Not 100 at all. Not close. LA Fitness fired 3 employees over a viral racial profiling incident. I feel like everybody's already heard of this, but some black people went into a LA Fitness. One of them was a gym member. The other one was like on a guest pass or something. They filmed it on their phone. Lucky for them. But the gym told them like, hey, y'all got to get out of the gym. Y'all not members. And the dude came back, was like, hey, I actually am a member, and here's my pass. It's in my locker. I'll go get it, because you don't have to walk around with your gym tag. Once you get in the gym and you've used it, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
So he goes, gets his gym tag, and it runs it, and it says he's been a member for years, and is in good standing. And he's like, yeah, well, you still got to get out the gym. And they go back and start working out or whatever for 20 minutes. Cops get called. They tell them, the gym people said you got to go. So they kicked him out. He was a member there for at least 8 years. And his friend had signed in using a 4-day guest pass to work out with him. They went ahead and fired the people that did that.
Yes. And that's what the fuck you do.
Right.
Because I proved it to you, which is not a problem. I tell you. Mm-hmm. And shit like this make you mad because it leads you to show me your papers.
Mm-hmm.
On the low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you're like, here are my papers, and they're like, we still don't believe what the fucking motherfucking computer is showing us. Guarantee you this is not the first time they've done this.
And honestly, they kicked them out, called the police. Police did kick them out. I mean, they made them leave. And the police was looking like, well, we don't know why they're kicking you out. Y'all didn't do nothing wrong. And so you have that, and then they fired the people. I mean, glad they got fired,
right?
You know, but it's just that messaging, man. You know, call the police on black people. Call the police on black people. Got a problem with some black people? Call the police. It doesn't matter what the problem is. We're empowering the police. So yeah, that's just ridiculous. Let's see. Is there another one I want to do? Texas charter school apologizes for quizzing students on the positive aspects of slavery.
What's so positive about it?
How do these assignments get past anyone? How do they get past anyone? Yeah, they said,
how did they get past
anyone? Like, I'm not even talking about black. You need right, some right. black people. Mm. This is just like a human being thing of like, we should probably not have kids decide what's good about slavery. Let's just not do this.
Yeah, that's what happened when you have white people over shit.
Yeah, what is the positive aspects of Holocaust books?
Come on.
Well, have you ever read that chapter, guys? You ever been asked to do that exercise? Yeah, it said compare the positive and negative aspects of slavery, which is something that we've seen like a year or two ago where someone else got in trouble for this stupid shit. Photo of the worksheet was posted on social media by a parent of one of the students. Roberto Levar, who said he was pissed at the assignment. We are fully aware there's a concerted effort by the far right nationally to reframe slavery as being not that bad and trying to revive the Civil War as being about states' rights and not about slavery. Levar's son, who was uncomfortable with having to come up with positive aspects of slavery when in fact there's no such thing, the parents suspected the textbook publisher might be to blame. This is absolutely unacceptable. At Great Hearts Texas Charter School in San Antonio, asked students to complete a balanced view assignment about slavery, requiring them to list the positive aspects of slave lives. The teacher worked from at Pearson Textbook, Castro tweeted. in response to media relations director for Pearson, an education publishing company, said, "We do not support this point of view and strongly condemn the implication that there was any positive aspect to slavery." They also tweeted, "We agree this is unacceptable. We have investigated this and determined that this worksheet is not our product."
Yeah, some shit that they made up.
So how'd you even get this in the classroom?
It's some shit that they, the person, whoever.
The teacher?
Yes, whoever laid the workout said, "This is what I'm going to cover." And not trying to be funny, they may or may not have ran this through the administration.
They got a fire.
Right.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yep. So the Great Hearts, Texas Superintendent Aaron Kendall issued his own statement on Facebook. "Last evening, Great Hearts was made aware that one of our teachers at the Monta Vista North Campus assigned homework that was very inappropriate and entirely inconsistent with Great Hearts philosophy and culture. In the eighth grade American history class, students were asked to reflect on the differing sides of slavery. To be clear, there's no debate about slavery. It is immoral and a crime against humanity." He said the assignment was limited to one teacher at just one campus. Yeah, you're right, Karen. They printed that shit out and brought it up to them. They got themselves.
Because if this was something that was in the book, it'd have been more teachers involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're dealing with the people who published the book possibly getting a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they go, no. We didn't put that bullshit in there.
And the teacher's been placed on leave. Pending the investigation. So the fuck, who, I wanna, the kids should also get an F if they come up with some positive ones. It should be like that trick, it should be like a trick exam, like the Naruto exam, where
yes!
the key was to see if you would get caught cheating and give up. Like that should be the whole trick. It's like, this little white boy had too many positives. We gonna need to see you down in student services. We gonna need to talk. You need some counseling, little boy. We need to make sure ain't no guns in your house.
Come on.
I actually couldn't come up with any negatives, Teach. Mm-hmm. Oh, probably got a podcast. Check that teacher for a podcast. Something. Get Black happening. Twitter CSI on that shit.
You know, they'll find it.
You know, they got some information somewhere. Man, ridiculous. Watch it, man. Look, you got kids in these schools, man. I hope y'all staying involved.
You better,
because this shit is embarrassing and scary and all that shit. I can't imagine the lesson a little black kid would take, man. Reduce labor costs, keep families together, warmer climates in the South, free housing, all the leftover pork you can eat, get some new Negro spirituals. It's been a while since that art form's died away.
Got some new ones.
Just coming up with the positive sides, guys. Just trying to look on the bright side of slavery. Okay? You can get a workout every day, beating your slaves. Slaves get a workout working in the fields.
Lose all that weight.
Mm-hmm. We have lots of light-skinned children. You know, that'll be good.
Yeah, somebody, good tan. Yeah, I agree, good, you know, tan. Lots of vitamin D.
We can get back to a plant-based diet in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can grow marijuana that we've locked them up in prison for, mm-hmm. which is already kind of slave labor.
Right.
that's I'm just trying to pass the test, Teach. Right. How did I do?
I know. And some of these Negroes could go back to their basic foods.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You get an A. You get an A. Good job, buddy. Did you come up with any negatives? No, I was too busy writing on positives. I didn't have enough time. I need a whole hour to come up with the negatives.
A whole hour. I mean, I got to really, you stumped me.
Let's come up with the, let's talk about the trash, okay? Taking out the trash, what we talked about. all these trash ass people out here sexually abusing people in these power positions. Based off of a lot of the Me Too movement that's going around, there's just too much of this shit happening to keep up with. So I had to put it in this special trash bin so we could talk about it.
Right.
Tony Robbins, the inspirational, motivational speaker, made some controversial Me Too comments and angered his own fans.
He made his own people mad.
Yep. He is on the first leg of his popular 3.5-day seminar. Motivational speaker Tony Robinson earned heckles from a crowd typically composed of agreeable devotees after making some comments interpreted as critical of the Me Too movement. Speaking in San Jose to a packed stadium of around 12,000. Damn. 12,000. Many of whom paid $650 to $295 to attend his Unleash the Power Within event. Boy.
Nigga.
And y'all mad at FanCon?
Come on.
Shit. Oh my God. Oh my God. No. No way. I keep looking at the numbers like they're gonna change on my screen. 650 to 3,000 to be told you could do better? Nigga, are you serious?
I ain't offer you no product.
I'm in the wrong game, man.
I'm trying to tell you, we doing this all wrong.
I'm gonna show up and just yell at people. You can do better than what you're doing. You're trash, you're whack. Right. But if you listen to me, you'll be good. Now go out there and get some things done before you leave. That'll be $3,000.
Come on, you know it's a big ass pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. They gonna sell you some product you don't need.
This money is, as some said, like FanCon, he showed up. But honestly, this money just is gone. It's just as gone. Like I'd rather you cancel the whole event and let me stay home and watch some TV. This crazy.
Then take my money like that.
So you can show up anyway. Yeah, he's a world-renowned life coach known for his profanity-laden approach to self-help. He be cussing at y'all! He get paid to cuss at y'all! Oh my god! This nigga rich from cussing people out! What?
Good to be white.
Bruh! I know, like, little league coaches that do this, and they'll never be rich.
For free.
They do this, they volunteer this. Wow. I will show up and cuss people out in his stead for half this, y'all. I can do it.
Come on.
It can't be. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, I'm having issues at work where my boss just doesn't respect me. I'm glad you asked for that, you bitch ass nigga. First of all, shut up when I'm talking to you, little hoe. All right. You look like a motherfucker to me that has no backbone. Okay.
I know, but I go over there to the corner, your whack ass bitch.
Right. Thank you so much, Mr. Robbins. Thank you. I appreciate just so much for you. Shut up, hoe. All right, I'll leave. That's right, you little punk. Anyway.
Like I was saying.
Where's the next motherfucker that wants some shit talk to them? That's why I'm gonna get paid for this.
Yeah, like somebody said, fuck you, believe in yourself, bitch. Yeah. No, that's a trick.
You're right. Believe in your fucking self, motherfucker. Now that'll be $3,000.
Yes.
You can spend one afternoon with like my grandmama, man, rest in peace. She'll get your whole life together. What are you talking about?
I could imagine black people doing this. It would be wonderful, honey. But I go out there and be the best goddamn thought you can be.
Come listen to Miss Tanya Robbins. Miss Robbins, what they call her, just come sit on her front step and she'll get you right.
I know, on a hot summer day.
Hand me that snuff, baby. Now what's wrong with you?
Yeah, snuff!
You little bony ass, that's why you ain't got nothing. You come up here, you're in debt. You know why you're in debt? Cause you're a weak motherfucker, first of all.
I know why she putting the snuff between her teeth.
Right. Yeah, give me my teeth back. Stop.
Right, cause you know she ain't got no teeth. Stop. Just cause of the snuff.
You keep acting like a little bitch and that's why you ain't got nothing. oh man. A couple of hours after he hit the stage, he began exercise to identify motivating factors in lives. One of them was significance. It's one of the six basic human needs, according to Mr. Robbins. And 90% of the audience agreed that it was a need, a motivating factor for them. In that same vein, Tony went on to say in a nutshell that women in the Me Too movement were motivated by the same factor to be significant. The first time seminar attendee Yifeng Tong agreed Robbins was critical of Me Too movement. He then mentioned the movement as a movement of attack and victimhood. I think he focused on victimhood first, arguing specifically that a significant portion of the people who use the hashtag or participate in the movement are victimizing themselves. He said in added in emails that Robin sounded very unsupportive of the movement. They be emailing y'all. Do we cuss in the emails? I wonder. The 58-year-old Robbins has built a fortune in a self-help empire thanks to part of his confrontational aggressive style. But his remarks last week in San Jose crossed the line even for some of the fans. One of the audience members, a woman from New Orleans named Nainine McCool, stood up and was given a microphone. The subsequent exchange was captured on video by an attendee who posted on Facebook, but the video has been removed now. They probably said take that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
If you use the Me Too movement to try to get significance and certainty by attacking and destroying someone else, all you've done is basically use a drug called significance to make yourself feel good, he said. Wow. Yeah, she said she was a survivor of sexual abuse and physical violence herself and recalled that what angered her. What I heard him say was Me Too is great and all, but it's being used by all these women who didn't want to deal with their own problems, and they think being a victim is a way to work out their pain by making their perpetrator suffer, and that doesn't help them. It happened years ago and they need to let it go. This brought out something in here. I was horrified in a sense. Oh my God, right. Tony Robbins, this great guy, has it all wrong. I stood up and started yelling, "You got it all wrong." Seen in the video, Robbins told her, "I'm not knocking the Me Too movement, I'm knocking victimhood." And asking the audience to consider, white men talking about victimhood is so funny, but okay. Consider what his impact is. He went on to say that anger is not empowering. Who should throw the stone? You shouldn't throw the stone if you've lived in a fucking glass house. Is there anyone of us that hasn't done something that we prefer we not, or that we're embarrassed by, or that was hurtful even if we didn't intend it to? He continued, if you use the Me Too movement to try to get significance and certainty by attacking and destroying someone else, all you've done is basically use a drug called significance to make yourself feel good. She replied, I hear you mischaracterizing the Me Too movement. Certainly there are people who are using it for their own personal devices, but there are also a significant number of people who are using it to relive whatever may have happened to them. Oh, not to relive whatever happened to them, but to make it safe for the young women so that they don't have to feel unsafe. After a round of applause, she continued, and I think you do the whole movement a disservice by characterizing it the way you have. I just want to say, Tony, I love you. It's sad she had to say that part.
I would actually research his history about all those women around him. Mm-hmm. You doing something, because for you to feel like you got to speak on this, what are you doing?
They also feel like they are outthinking the common thought. They do that a lot, these motivational people, where it's like, no, see, I'm so woke that I'm saying that this thing that you think is good is actually bad. You know, that thing too. Oh, you think Black Lives Matter is good? Let me tell you why it's not good. Because I have a mic.
Yeah, I would question you, person who is in a position that you are rarely a victim in,
right,
in those type of circumstances, because women are normally the victims most, mm-hmm, of the time. You know, it extends across the board, you know, men and all that stuff too, but the bulk of it, you know, put that as the bulk of the ones that's presented up front, because there are a lot of men to get sexually assaulted too, but the ones that are normally presented to most people are men on women.
Yeah, I'm not even arguing. I'm saying, mm-hmm, in addition to he probably may have done some shit, right, I'm saying he also decided to talk about this shit and he didn't want to come out and just be in support, because these motherfuckers get paid to, you know, in their mind, I'm so popular, I'm so right, and everybody always says they're right and they always had their back, and they paying $3,000 to fucking hear you say that, you know, how you're so much smarter than them. And so one way to be smarter is to be like, well, you know, we talked about on the show before, contrarian and smart. People conflate the two all the time.
Yes, they do.
Nobody, you know, no right thinking person thinks the Me Too movement is some trash. I do, because I'm so smart. The rest of y'all sheep. That's why y'all think it's okay, but it's not. Because let me tell you why. Because they just think they victims.
Yeah, people like, they need to be careful, because if you've done anything, you've provoked a lot of these victims to come out now.
The two then went back and forth in the exchange, where Robin said, I don't feel attacked, and that she was using it differently from some other people. He did an exercise where he told her to hold out her fist, then he pushed her fist with his own to make the point, when you push someone, it doesn't make you more safe, it makes them angry. It just makes them angry. So this is now him saying the Me Too movement is pushing these people who are sexual abusers, and it's just making the sexual abusers angry. How is that an argument against the Me Too movement?
It makes no sense.
Well, now they're gonna really rape you. Like, they was already keeping me out of jobs, harassing me, sexually assaulting me. Like, what the fuck else was I supposed to do? They weren't going to jail. I'm just supposed to let them go unpunished because if I say something, then I'm being a victim? Fuck you. Of the pushing, McCool said, I thought, okay, we're going to fist bump. Then he started pushing me. I thought he wanted me to show how strong I could be and push back, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted me to move backwards. He went on, I was thinking he's going to transform it into some kind of awareness. I don't know. It's Tony Robbins. There's going to be some kind of lesson here that's going to be useful to me. I initially started pushing back, but he immediately pushed back harder. Right. There was no way he was going to knock me on my ass if I didn't step backwards. So I quit pushing his against him. I started walking backwards. As long as he was pushing me, I was moving. 9 of the 11 attendees advice spoke to brought up how Robin's larger size and physical contact with her seemed almost intimidating.
Right.
He's a very large man, so she looks tiny next to him. Then he starts pushing her, not to be abusive, but pushing her as an interaction. Who's been, just say Logan Wick of Austin, who's been a follower of Robbins for 8 years and has gone to 4 of his seminars. In that moment, when you're talking about Me Too and you're telling a woman and you're pushing against her, you're very large, no matter what size man you are, you shouldn't be doing that in that context. At another point in the conversation with McCool, catch it on the video, posted on Facebook, Robbins said, it breaks my heart for women, not for men, before sharing an anecdote about a very famous man, powerful man, he has spoken who felt unable to hire a woman because she was too attractive. See, y'all out here don't want us to sexually harass y'all, and y'all scaring us, so now we ain't even gonna hire you. Why would I hire a woman if she might complain about my sexual harassment of her? He interviewed 3 people that day. 1 was a woman, 2 were men. The woman was better qualified, but she was very attractive, and he knew, I can't have her around because it's too big a risk, and he hired somebody else. I have a dozen men tell me this. I don't understand in that context how it's the woman's fault that you can't have an attractive woman around you without doing something that will get you called out in the Me Too movement.
I do because you got a dick, and how dare she make it jump?
You know what I'm saying? But like, that should still be the man's fault. Like, Tony Robbins,
I agree.
So-called good man in this discussion, the one who's like, don't do these things, he should be like, and these men are scum for the fact that they refuse to even hire a woman because they're saying I can't keep my fucking dick off of her if I do. No, he goes, and that's your fault, women. You and this fucking Me Too shit. Now this woman didn't get a job, and it's your fault, really.
Right, because, you know, it boils down to the simple thing. Men don't want to admit that men are trash. Men don't want to admit that.
But if you told him men was trash, he'd be like, nah, come on now, you're going too far. But no man should hire an attractive woman because they can't help themselves. But men are not trash, and you hurt my feelings with that.
Right, and the thing is, it's the brand. It individually is a whole other thing, but it's the overall brand. Like the police, it's the brand police, not individual cops, it's the brand.
When McCool called this a lame excuse, he countered that she was in fact the one making the excuse. You're giving an excuse. You're telling me the more I push, the more I'm going to be safe. Is it true? It's not. Listen to me. There's plenty of women in this room and plenty of other points of view. I'm not asking you to take my point of view. I'm asking you to consider how you use anything. Technology, hashtag Me Too, anything. He went on to say, freedom doesn't come from more anger, and that I think anyone who's been hurt should be able to express it, and they should be able to get restitutions. And what I'm not supportive of is victimhood. He then asked the audience to consider that technology stressed people out while making them more productive, as an example of a double-edged sword.
I'm making shit up.
Keep in mind, this victimhood shit that they keep talking about, the Me Too movement isn't about victimhood.
No, it's not.
It's about restitution. It's about being proactive. It's about safety. It's about positive change. It's all the shit that if he wasn't a man and he believed in the other things he said about, you know, motivating people's lives, it's all the things he support. yeah, go out, make a positive change. You know, push, make them know that you're gonna have a safe space and get this, the clarity and the certainty that you want. And then he's like, but I mean, now that I have a dick and y'all don't, I actually gotta say, I feel uncomfortable. He's making himself the victim. These powerful men can't hire women no more. Poor us. In response to Robin's going on for about this for a moment, McCool said, you are a leader and an influential man, and you're doing a disservice, in my opinion, to the Me Too movement. A statement that was greeted with applause from the audience. Eventually, McCool admitted that she misunderstood Robbins, and the life coach said, I'm not saying the movement's wrong. I'm saying everything was a kind of consequence. Raise your hand if you heard me and you want to use things in a way that doesn't addict you to your problems and you don't want to be a victim. Addict you to your problems. Wow. He then said he wanted women to be treated fairly and noted that his company is 70% women.
No, you don't.
Well, why are you hiring women if you scared of the Me Too movement? What's different about your company? I'm not criticizing any woman. I'm saying man or woman, if you get into a pattern of victimization, who's going to hurt?
But you specifically brought up the Me Too movement, who is majority of women.
Right. Nice and loud. Who's it going to hurt? He said, and everybody said yourself, and he said, that's right.
Right, because you realize you got to the point that this woman was making sense and she was actually fighting against you, versus that you turn it into the crowd who you know is literally eating up your words, who probably isn't paying this woman no attention, and so you basically got the crowd to kind of overshadow her.
And someone in the crowd yelled, say you're sorry, and Robbins laughed and said, I'm not gonna be inauthentic and say I'm sorry about something I'm not sorry about. Then Katy Perry's roar blasted through the sound system. Oh, that's ironic. Here's my thing. I don't trust nobody that can't say they sorry.
Nope, you can't apologize.
I mean, he was clearly wrong, you know, but he didn't want to lose. He knows that if he loses in that moment, he becomes not Tony Robbins, the charismatic leader, you know.
Right.
But he was clearly wrong. She proved him wrong, literally right there in front of that room, and he had to be like, nah, I'm gonna spin it to where I'm still right. You gotta be careful if somebody convince themselves they right at all times. I don't trust it. Nobody ain't never wrong. A spokeswoman for Robbins told Vice that in the full context of the speech, his remarks about the Me Too movement were not derogatory, and offered the following statement. Tony Robbins is and always has been supportive of the Me Too movement. He has devoted his life's work over 40 years to help people in their pain and suffering, and most importantly, improve the quality of their lives. Tony is against any against abuse of any kind to anyone, period.
No, he's not. That's not what he said.
So, yeah, and of course, some people agree with the remarks that were there. You know, so you take that for what it's worth. But right. Tony Robbins out here spreading the gospel of Me Too is fucked up, apparently. He just happened to be a white man.
And it's going to be interesting. You got all those women out there. Believe you me, you doing something you ain't got no business doing, or somebody in your organization doing something they ain't got no business doing, and y'all trying to cover it up, it will come out.
Yeah. So big 6'5" man pushing a woman in front of an audience of people talking about don't be a victim and shit, like I just feel sad that shit works on anyone.
Correct.
It's like, damn, it's people that this shit is working on, like they really sitting around like, thank God Tony Robbins got my life together today by letting me know that I'm being a victim for not wanting to, you know, go to work and make less money, be sexually assaulted or be harassed or blackballed.
Yeah, shit like that scared me. I always assume it's a cult.
Yeah. Russell Simmons has been accused by a Real Housewives of New York star Luann de Lesseps, who claims that he grabbed my ass in the elevator 3 summers ago in Miami.
Oh, that's not good.
Yep, he grabbed my ass in the elevator. He was just a pig, she said. Haven't told anybody about that before. I was grossed out. I was like, how dare you? He invaded me, took advantage of me, being who he is, thinking he is all everything. He thought he could just do that. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever do that again. She claimed he never apologized for the alleged incident. Simmons vehemently denied the accusations as he provided his full statement to the Daily Beast below that I'm not reading. At this point, he's denied. Like, he's getting everything. Up there. He's getting up there. Especially when he went from, like, you know, I have acted inappropriately sometimes, and then it started piling up. And he was like, I've never done anything wrong ever in my life, and hashtag what about me, hashtag y'all did it, not me,
hashtag I gotta step down from my company that I created with
everybody
my name on it,
hashtag everybody but me too,
come on.
What else? I don't know who else to, you know what, I'm gonna move into guess the race. We're starting to run out of time. Let's do some guess the race and then we'll wrap this bad boy up, Karen.
Let's do it.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Ba-da-bop. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And everybody's playing as racist, alright?
Yes.
Alright, let's get into it. Search warrants in the death of a St. Paul bicyclist focus on suspects missing Hyundai. St. Paul police have filed more than 15 applications for search warrants in their investigation into a fatal hit and run of a Brasa rotisserie employee who was biking home from work in November. All of them focused on Abby Hagner and her son, Dustin Hagner Royce. Neither has been charged, but they were arrested and released in the weeks after Jose Hernandez Solano was found lying motionless on the street.
Oh.
At the Grand, at the intersection, November 26th. He suffered severe head and spinal injuries and died. Hagner declined to comment when reached by a reporter Thursday, and her son could not be reached. The latest search warrants appear to be aimed at trying to determine whether Hagner is lying about the whereabouts of her Hyundai. She told police her vehicle, she sold her vehicle to an unknown Mexican. An unknown Mexican or Somali male.
What? You don't have no documentations about, I've sold vehicles before. Y'all got to sign something. People got to stamp it. What are we talking about here?
Mexican or Somali?
I guess you can't tell the difference.
Are those even closer to the same?
No.
Whom she said she had been unable to understand, but she sold it to him for $3,000 4 days before the deadly crash. She also reportedly admitted to officers that she had still had a lien of $5,000 on the SUV at the time of the sale.
Well, then you
and
didn't.
And she's continuing to make payments on the lien, even though she sold it technically, but with no paperwork.
You didn't sell that.
A search warrant of her it filed December 21st saw her banking records. It hopes that the bank surveillance system might show that the vehicle that she used to make transactions. Police believe that video may show her claims to be false. Another search warrant sought access to her bank account records to prove that neither he nor his mom made deposits of $3,000 after they allegedly sold that Hyundai.
Come on.
Guess the race.
Of who?
Of the people that hit the man.
Okay, because you said the victim's name too, so I didn't know which one.
Well, obviously the person, the people that did the hitting.
Oh, the people that did the hitting, they white because they don't know the difference between a Mexican or a Somalian.
I'm gonna go to the next session and then you guys can guess in there. That way it'll probably be easy.
Okay.
Easier. So don't guess yet. We'll be right back. Give it a minute.
Submit it again on the other side, y'all.
Yeah. Do 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 do.
I know.
Do 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 do. All right. We are back live. I will add everyone to the session. I will put you back on the screen.
Let's do this.
There you go. And let's get to these guesses. Lion ass white, says Trey. White,
white,
says Fine Wine. Whitey white, white, says Simone. We'll call the cops if you arrive 2 minutes early at Starbucks.
Oh,
white.
Shit.
Doesn't see color, but can call an ethnicity white. White, white, honky. Some African or Mexican, they all sound alike and look the same, she said. White. White and colonizer cream. The correct answer is white. Yeah, he was either a Mexican, Japanese, or Egyptian. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't understand anything, but I knew $3,000 was coming for my car.
Come on, like somebody in the chat room say, brown or brown, you pick.
Right. Some sort of brown. But on some real shit, she said she couldn't understand them, and I think I know why, because I think I know who she sold the car to. Hey, 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 that's a nice car you got right there. What's that, a Hyundai?
I know, they was like, we're going to have a good time. all right, we got a vehicle, y'all.
Are you, is this, sir, are you like Mexican? I can't understand anything you're saying.
Why y'all singing and dancing with all this dirt? I don't understand. Why y'all taking the car to the junkyard?
Hey, hey, hey. We're gonna drive it to a Mexican.
All right.
So stupid.
Ain't it though?
White people are terrible. They are terrible.
They can't even get their racism right.
So fucked up and racist for no reason.
At all.
You killed a man, first of all. Then you lie. I sold my car to the black people that did this. I don't. Jesus. All right. Let's see what else we got here. A couple was arrested on a plane because they were joking about joining the Mile High Club.
Oh, like the Illuminati? You better not talk about it.
Sounds like their flight plan got grounded.
Hey.
Too drunk and frisky.
Sound like they had a crash landing.
Yeah, they didn't really have a plan, Karen. They were just winging it.
Hey!
Two drunk and frisky flyers were arrested after a woman put her head under a blanket on the lap of another passenger during a return flight from Sin City, and they said they were joking around about joining the Mile High Club.
Oh, sound like somebody was getting their dick sucked.
Yeah, that's the one way to join. The canoodling couple from Minnesota identified in an airport police report as Teresa M. Cone and Tyler V. Bohm. Comb and bone.
Come on. We combing and boning.
They were handcuffed as soon as they landed at January 21st in the airport at St. Paul International. Police said the alleged risque behavior on their Sun Country flight involved Cone's head beneath the blanket that was placed on Bone's lap. Cone insisted to the police that her head was only under the blanket for 2 seconds, but Jenny Huska, who was seated in a row behind the couple, said it lasted for several minutes. Mm-hmm. They said the couple had been making out and Cone was touching Bone all over his body. She said it was nonstop. Cone told police she and Bone were merely joking around about joining the Mile High Club by having sex on an airplane, according to an airport police incident report. We are getting a lawyer, Bone told the police. I told the paper, it's a joke. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. Cone, who could not be reached for comment, was ready to start drinking before the plane even took off and was acting belligerent to flight attendants who denied his early request for a beer. Mm. They were each issued a summons Wednesday. How come the engine never breaks and hits people like this? Anyway, guys, guess the race, Karen.
Definitely white.
All right, Karen.
They like to drag brown people off a plane.
Okay, let's check the chat room. We wanted mayo with our peanuts, white.
Oh.
Well, honey, you say you want to try new things, white. white as fuck. I thought I could fly Southwest on his balls, white.
Oh, Lord.
white people, coach seating, white, hated Black Panther, white, quick pumper, white, Minnesota Prairie Home Companion, white.
Aww.
White people who are mad at blacks are in first class.
Come on.
Yeah, potato salad with no paprika. Yeah, I feel like they were mad because the in-flight movie wasn't, you know, by Wes Anderson. They were white. The caucasity on these people. Like, you're already drunk. And then you're like, and I'm gonna get my dick sucked too. And I'm gonna be mad if y'all try to stop me. How dare you arrest me?
I was so belligerent that the people was like, no, sir, we will not give you a drink.
Yeah. Did it show up in the chat?
It did. Oh my.
Yeah, I see why they objected to watching them have sex.
All right. Come on.
They're like, sir, this isn't sexy at all. Please. Put your penis back away.
Right.
All right, let's go to.
There was like, nobody wants to watch this. Nobody.
Sir, if you're going to do that, it's appropriate that you do it in the cockpit. All right, seriously, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round against the race. So far, we are Karen's 2 for 2.
I know.
Let's see if she can keep it going in the bonus round.
I'll try, y'all.
All right. Let's see. A New York Police Department police officer is accused of running a drug den after being caught with $25,000. A New York Police Department housing officer who helped her boyfriend run a harrowing traffic ring was caught with $25,000 in drug money stuffed in a purse with her service weapon. Yesenia Jimenez, 31, and her boyfriend, Luis Soto, 33, were busted Tuesday on drug trafficking and weapon possession charges as part of a larger investigation into heroin traffic from Mexico into New York. The two turned their Bronx apartment into a drug stash home, federal prosecutors said, and Jimenez traveled to Massachusetts with Soto for an important stop with a heroin trafficker. The couple popped up on the Drug Enforcement Administration's radar in January after finding Soto's phone number on the cell phone of a narcotics trafficking suspect from Queens. Soto made the trip to Massachusetts on Sunday and headed back to New York around 10:30 p.m. At 2 a.m. on Tuesday, a joint DEA, NYPD, and state police task force stopped Soto's car outside their apartment in Soundview. After she started unloading bags from the trunk, Jimenez was sitting in the passenger seat, the stuffed purse at her feet, with the handle of the NYPD issue Glock 9mm sticking out. Well, you don't want it to be any mysteries. Soto was carrying another $25,000 in a black plastic grocery bag, and he admitted he picked up all the cash from Massachusetts, according to court filings. A search of their apartment uncovered 250 grams of alleged heroin in a closet. Jimenez joined the NYPD in 2015. She's been suspended without pay. Her Facebook page shows her wearing a NYPD t-shirts and hats and sharing several pro-police messages. This is like some shit out of Belly. She's out here like, Blue Lives Matter, but I'm gonna be selling this heroin? Okay. Jimenez's lawyer, Mary Gobiner, challenged the weapon possession charges filed against her. This is her service weapon. Given that she's a police officer, she's kind of mandated to have a service weapon with her. That's a nice try. A judge ordered her bail at $75,000 bond, while Soto agreed to be held without bail. Jimenez declined to be comment. Guess the race.
Latinx.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Latinx, who thought they were stars of The Wire, The Bronx Tales, Telemundo. Latinx. Oh. Also let her boyfriend drive her car with the Lambda Theta tags. Latinx, moving kilos. Latinx cop. The correct answer is, I'm going to say Latinx, but she looked black. You know, y'all New York motherfuckers got them weird ass rules. Y'all be letting people that's not black say nigga and shit. So she look like she get away with it. So her picture look black in this one. I don't know. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
She like a black woman to me. What do you think?
Yeah, she, like I said, she,
like maybe she like Dominican or some shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna still get y'all Latinx because I don't know, because y'all got them weird ass rules up there. All right, let's go to to Sword Ratchetness, guys. Gotta get out of here. A man man threatened staff with a sword during a Limerick off-license robbery. What?
I don't know what that is.
Gardaí in Limerick, I guess that's a place.
Okay.
The Gardaí, they're like the police, are investigating a robbery at an off-license in which a man threatened the staff with a sword. The fuck is an off-license?
I don't know.
It's like a business or something?
I don't know. I guess you either own a license or you're off. I don't know what's happening here.
Right?
Somebody said it's in Ireland.
Okay. Off-license is a term used in the United Kingdom for a shop licensed to sell alcoholic beverages for consumption off the premises, as opposed to a bar or public house, which is licensed to sell consumption at point of sale. Okay, so he's at a liquor store.
Oh, okay, like the ABC store.
Yeah. The robbery occurred Monday night around 8:40 p.m., and Gardaí are seeking assistance in relation to the incident. A lone male in the off-license premises called Coasters on Church Street in Limerick City. He had a sword with him, and he threatened a member of staff there. He then made off with a sum of cash. Mm-mm-mm. And they are looking for witnesses. Well, well, motherfucking well. Watch y'all back. It's drunk niggas with swords running around.
Come on.
We'll be back tomorrow.
We will.
To do whatever this was.
Whatever this was.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for people in the chat. We'll talk to y'all then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.